Welcome to our sermon series, Beyond Blessed. Today, we dig into the scriptures to understand the biblical principles that unlock a life that is beyond blessed.
Our miracle missions offering weekend is that time when we said, God, we are going to go beyond our usual generosity. We want to give a sacrificial offering to advance your kingdom. Once every year, we get to do that. You see, if you're going to live a life beyond blessed, there are certain times where God asks you to do things beyond your normal. And this weekend is one of them. And we always look forward to it as Watoto Church, because please understand, God honors sacrificial offering. God honors it. As Watoto Church, church life has seasons. And as Watoto Church, God has been good to us. We've been growing. But we've experienced certain seasons where we have a plateau in the life of the church, where we failed to break through a certain barrier. One of those was the 20,000 mark when it was helping us reach 20,000. We'd somehow have some weekends at 20,000, drop to 18,000. And in 2012, we were still at that point, 19,000 people in church, failing to break through. And it's the year God called us as a church to give a miracle offering and use it totally for missions, to bless others. I want to assure you, my friends, the time we as Watoto Church decided to give and even exceeded the amount of money we wanted to give, $1 million, we gave $1.2 million all towards missions. God broke the barrier of 20,000. To date, from that time, it's just 7 years, God has added close to 14,000 people coming to Watoto Church. Because God honors sacrificial giving. And this weekend, as we give sacrificially, out of the increase God has given to us, I believe God is going to honor this offering. And he's going to honor you as an individual. There's a story in the Bible that I want to draw your attention to that is going to help you appreciate this principle of God honoring sacrificial giving. And he decides to say, you know what, I'm going to look after you. Not only will you be blessed, you're going to be beyond blessed because you have chosen to give sacrificially. This story is about a widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, if you have your Bibles. And we'll get some bit of perspective there. And the context of this story is the king at that time of Israel, Ahab, had led the nation of Israel to worship a foreign god, a false god called Baal. And Baal was credited to be the god of rain and harvest. And God sends Elijah the prophet to the king's palace. And Elijah had a message telling the king there won't be rain for 3.5 years. In other words, God was helping the king understand that, hey, Baal is not the one in charge of the rain or harvest. God Almighty is. And so God shut up the heavens. There was no rain. And I mean, there was a drought. There was a famine. And at this point, when people are running out of water, running out of food, God speaks to Elijah to go somewhere, to a place called Zarephath. And so we'll read from verse 8. It says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. And then he says, see, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Now, I want to paint a picture of what God is doing here. God is asking Elijah to go to this town, and he's saying, in this season of famine, in this season of drought, I have commanded a widow to look after you. Now, my friends, widows those days and even today in our society were people who are not even capable of looking after themselves. In fact, the community used to come together to care for the widows. How come God was asking Elijah, who had just spoken to a king in a palace, to go to a place and say, there's a widow who's going to look after you in a drought and in a famine? Here's what God is saying. None of us is too poor to be generous. Generosity isn't dependent on how much you have. Generosity is about our hearts. And this weekend, as we come to give our Miracle Missions offering sacrificially, it's not so much about the amount we give, it's about the sacrifice each of us puts into the offering. And God sends Elijah to this widow, says she's the one who's going to look after you. So verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. That was a great ask. Water is running out. She's a widow. And here Elijah's asking, get me some water. The Bible says, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a mass of bread in your hand. Now, when Elijah asked for water, it was a big ask. She was willing to go and get water. But on the way she was going to get water, Elijah says, can you also get me some bread? I don't know about you, but sometimes God acts like that. Certainly for me this year, this miracle offering, as I was asking God, God, how do you want me to participate? And over the years, I've been participating in the miracle offerings, and I've been stretching myself each time. My wife and I and the family, we stretch ourselves. So this year, I was hoping God would say, you know what, Julius, you have been stretching yourself all these past years. This year, maybe give the same as last year or even less so that I give you a break. Look at the things you're doing. You have many things you're trying to accomplish. And then I phoned my wife. And then she said, how much did we give last year? I knew what was coming. God was going to ask us to do more. This is what was happening for this widow. She was saying, I will sacrifice and give water. But as she was on her way, can you bring some bread as well? Now, for some of you, there's what God has asked you to give. In fact, you had set in your heart, this is what I'm going to do, and it is sacrificial. And then God gives you a figure. This was a very strategic point for this widow. Very strategic point for this widow. The decision she was about to make was going to determine whether she was going to live beyond blessed. So Elijah, as she was going to get it, he called to her and he said, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. Here's what she said. As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. It was her very last meal. And I tell you, in times of drought, you are very mindful of whatever you use. So by the time she says this is the last, it was the last. She knew it was going to be her final meal. That's what Elijah was asking for. Please understand, as we think about this story, God will never ask you to give what you do not have. He will always ask you to give from what you have. When my wife said we have to give more, the entire series Beyond Blessed became alive for me. One, I had to come to a place of agreeing that God is the owner. Everything I have has been entrusted to me by God, and I am a steward. When God says, let go, give, I need to trust him. Even when it seems like it doesn't make logical sense, like for this lady, I gotta trust that the owner, if he asks me to do something, he's more than capable of looking after me. For this widow, she looked at what she had, and for her mind, in her mind, what she had in the little bowl of flour and what she had in the little jar of oil was her source. But I gotta help you understand, my friend, our source is never our salary or what is in our bank account. Our source is never about our businesses or employer. Our source is God Almighty, who owns everything. And if he asks me to do something, I can trust him to take care of me. And she was at that point where she had to decide, who is the source in my life? God never asks us to give what we do not have. He asks us to give from what we have. Here's a scripture, 2 Corinthians 8:12. It says this, "For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have." So what really matters here when it comes to sacrificial giving, the one that God honors, he looks at our hearts. Are we willing? Are we willing to obey and give when God asks us to do something? Again, friends, it's not about equal amount of giving. It's about equal sacrifice in our giving. Jesus one time sat at the temple and he watched people giving. The Pharisees appeared to give more. And there was a little widow who came and gave a coin. And Jesus picked up a great generosity lesson at that point. He said, this woman has given more than all of you. Why? When it comes to the area of sacrifice, she had sacrificially given. The others were simply giving out of abundance, and for most of them was for show. Listen, my friends, we don't give our miracle offerings for show. It is about advancing the kingdom of God. So it's about the sacrifice in our hearts when it comes to giving. And we do it willingly. That's why we set ourselves up and we come giving in style. We dance. We celebrate. Because why? God loves a cheerful giver. And we come dancing. We don't come grumbling. So Brian is dancing on Aga. You come with your envelope. Chains are breaking everywhere. Miracles happening everywhere. And you give and say, I believe in this great God who will look after me. We dance like David danced when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into Jerusalem. One time the Israelites experienced defeat. And the worst part of their defeat wasn't them just losing the battle, but was the Ark of the Covenant being stolen from them. And the Ark of the Covenant was the representation of the very presence of God with them. And somewhere along the way, while they were trying to get the Ark of the Covenant back, some events happened, and so the Ark of the Covenant ended up in the house of a guy called Obed-Edom. He took the risk and said, keep this thing in my house. The Bible says Obed-Edom was blessed and everything in his house was blessed. In other words, even the cockroaches in his house were blessed. Because the Ark of the Covenant was there. David couldn't settle leading his kingdom without the presence of God. He knew he needed the Ark. And so he sent and said, we gotta bring the Ark of the Covenant. And while David was waiting, he saw the Levites bringing the Ark of the Covenant. David began to dance. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He began to dance. And his wife watched him dancing. And the wife said, how can a king dance like that? David said, listen, when it comes to the presence of God and the Ark of the Covenant of God, I'm even more determined to be undignified. That's why he danced, the Bible says his clothes fell off. Today that will not happen here. But he danced and his clothes fell off. In other words, David was saying, I am a man after God's own heart. When we come to give today, we are saying we are men and women who are after God's own heart. We are going to give to advance the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what it's about. So verse 13 says in our story, and Elijah said to her, do not fear. This is our year of faith over fear. Sacrificial giving takes faith, my friends. Because the reality is we get afraid. How will I meet this bill? How will I do this? I had this plan in mind. Now, God, if I give, will this really take place? It's a faith over fear kind of giving. And then Elijah said to her, go, do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. In other words, listen, widow. It's your source is not your jar of oil or your flour that you have. I am your source. And if I decide to come on your behalf, you will be beyond blessed because I'll look after you until the rain comes. So God was saying, listen, regardless of the famine, regardless of the drought and the lack of rain, I am going to be your provider. That is what beyond blessed means. Where God does things in your life that no human being can take credit for. The Bible says when you give, it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Today, it is going to be a big measure. We're going to give sacrificially towards our God. Verse 15 says, she went away, did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. In other words, God will always provide for his children when they choose to put him first. God once asked the children of Israel, he saw the crisis they were in, family problems, economic problems, and he said to them this, listen, if you can just return to me, be faithful in your generosity, return the tithes and offerings. Here's what I'm going to do. God says, I'll open up the windows of heaven. I'll pour out so much blessing you won't have room enough. In other words, not only will I bless you, you're going to be blessed beyond. That's what it means. And then God says this to them. I will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. In other words, God says, not only will I bless you, I will deal with your enemies. I will deal with Satan. And for them, their trade was farming. They used to plant crops and pests used to disturb them. God said, I'm also going to deal with the pests that are affecting your crops. Because our generosity on earth attracts the move of God in heaven. When we give today, we are not buying a miracle. We are not trying to purchase God's love. We are not even trying to say, God, we are paying for favor. Never. No amount of money can buy the love or a miracle from God. This is not what it's about. What we are saying is, God, we are going to be interested in your kingdom. We are giving to advance your kingdom. And when we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, he promises all these other things will be added to us. Come on. So that's what it is about.
Thank you for listening. We hope this sets you up to live a truly blessed life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scriptures and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@portotochurch.com.